pray. So Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. So hear now the word of God. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go to the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. And now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, starting with the scripture. He proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, this week I have had the super fun time of opening up our swimming pool, okay? And that sounds like a brag at first, right? Oh, look, they got a swimming pool. If you saw it, you wouldn't think so, okay? Some of you may remember the TV show The Beverly Hillbillies, right? And they had a cement pond, right? That's what we have right now. It has moved because of my difficult efforts from super dark green to light green, okay? With much vacuuming and backwashing and scraping and pouring of awful chemicals in there, I have managed to take it from where you jump in and will die to where you jump in and will just lose your hair, okay? But the reason I share that is that last year when we bought this house, we bought it, and they said, "Oh, there's a pool in the back." And we said, "Really? Where is it?" And they said, "Under that big blue square." And it had, you know, like a cover over it. We said, "Does it work?" The old guy said, "Trust me." Right? Yeah, it's never a good thing, right? And the inspector said, yeah, we don't inspect those. it was just kind of, well, if you want the house, you get this. So we didn't use it for the first 2 years because we were too lazy, and it looked like it was a lot of work. But last year, when we knew we were going to be at home a lot, we said, well, let's get it working, right? So we got it, had some people come out and get it working. And it was really nice to be able to, when it was hot outside and we couldn't go anywhere else anyway, we could throw on swimming suits and go jump in the cool water, right? And there's something great about whether it's a big old fancy thing or whether it's just a little kiddie pool in the backyard. It's really nice to be able to, when it's hot, to be able to cool off in something that's wet and refreshing, isn't it? Right? That's why for centuries people have either had baths, right? Or they've had ponds or lakes on their property or things like that, right? Because, or you went to the swimming pool in town, right? The reason is because there's just something great about being able to be in the water, isn't there? Right? When you're able to feel, right, you feel heavy and tired and it's just blah when you're walking around in the regular air and on the ground, right? But you get in the water and it pushes you up, right? And suddenly what felt heavy is very light, right? And you can just kind of float around and there's something, you know, that's something nice to do, isn't it? It's a lot of fun. And so I want you to think about that feeling you get. Maybe for you it's getting in the hot tub or a good nice bath or whatever, but there's some way that water helps you to recover, right? Maybe you've been working all day and you're sweaty and hot and you come home and you get in that hot shower and it just feels great, right? Or that's the thing that wakes you up in the morning. Whatever it is, water has restorative properties. It helps us to be able to, if we drink it, it gives us life. In fact, we can't live without it. Whether it's in something, like I'm being a bad example today because I got an energy drink. But it's got water in it too in the midst of all that other stuff. But we have to drink it. And it gives us, it makes everything better, right? Our plants need it. The yard needs it. If we don't have it, life doesn't work. And so we have this really interesting scripture about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch coming to some water. Okay. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. So we have this fellow, this eunuch. Okay. And I don't want to get too indelicate, but a eunuch is a man who has been castrated. Okay. So that means he can't have children. People who had lots and lots of money and lots of stuff back in the old days would do that to men, especially young men, with the idea being that they would be loyal and trustworthy people to put in charge of certain things. Oftentimes, eunuchs were put in charge of maybe a harem, like a bunch of wives of a rich person or a king. Thought process being, if he's not able to have kids, he's not going to be interested in having kids, he's not going to be messing with your property. Okay. Same principle applies for this eunuch. His job is to be in charge of the money. And I guess the thought process was, if he's not inflamed by these passions, then he's not going to be stealing our money and running off with it. Okay. Now, that sounds like that's a really weird thing to do, and we don't do that anymore. That's a good thing. Okay. But the reason that this matters, that he's a eunuch, that I tell you these things that are a little uncomfortable to talk about, especially for us men, a little uncomfortable for us to talk about, is because the fact that he had had this procedure done, the fact that he was not intact, okay, meant that he was excluded from so many things in society. Okay, for one, he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Well, he had come to Jerusalem to worship, then he had come to worship as a Jew, right? So he had come to worship God. But here's the thing. He wasn't an Israelite. He couldn't be a Jew. And he was so he was not able to go fully into the temple. He wasn't able to offer sacrifices for a couple of reasons. One, the fact that he had had that procedure done meant he had blemish. He was injured. He had had it was just like if he had a disease. And so someone who has a disease is not able to go into the temple and offer sacrifices, okay? They're unclean. So this eunuch would have been considered unclean and unable to participate in religious life of the time, okay? So he came to Jerusalem, even though he knew he wasn't going to get to be able to be a full part of things. But he still came because he trusted. He trusted in God. He didn't understand everything yet, but he trusted and he loved God and he wanted to worship. So he came to worship, even though he wasn't fully welcome. Then, on top of that, because of his condition, he was unable to participate in the first covenant. Does anybody know what the first covenant that God makes with people is? Do you remember? He says, be fruitful and multiply. Not to be indelicate, but he can't multiply, right? He can't be fruitful in that way. It's just not something that he can do physically. And so, therefore, he was unable to participate in kind of the basic part of what it meant to be part of the people of God. Is the idea was, look, they were a small nation, right? The Jews were little. And so the more kids they could have, the better, the stronger they could be. And he couldn't have kids. It just wasn't going to happen. And so, in spite of all of these things that worked against him, he was still trying to be close to God. He was still, in spite of what the law said, in spite of what people would say, they would have looked at him differently. They would have known that he was a servant and that he was someone who was incomplete in their eyes. And yet he still goes. And on the way home, he's reading from a scroll from Isaiah. And Philip is told by God, get up and go to this place. Get on the wilderness road. And he's wandering on the road, not knowing what's going to happen. The chariot goes by and God says, hey, go. The Spirit says, go. Catch up with it. Get on there. So he catches up, hears what he's reading, gets on, starts to teach the eunuch, right? So we have Philip here who has a choice to make. Philip, who's a good Jew. Philip, who has grown up in the faith. Philip, who has learned, and he even learned from Jesus, right? Philip has this great pedigree of what it means to be a follower of God, and he's been told, go talk to this random guy, this guy who's an outcast and who's different, and tell him about Jesus. A lot of people, when given that assignment that Philip was given, would have said, I'm not going out on that road. That's a wilderness road. What that means is there's somebody who's going to jump me, and I'm going to get attacked, I'm going to get robbed, bad things are going to happen. I don't want to be on that road. And they would have stopped right there, but Philip didn't. Philip went where he was sent. Then a lot of people would have said, oh, wait a minute. I'm not talking to that guy. He's below me. Right? He's not as important as me. He's a servant. A lot of people would have said, no, he's a eunuch. I don't want to be with that guy. And yet, Philip says, no, this is where I've been sent. I'm going to do what I've been commanded to. And so he gets in and he's talking to the eunuch, and the eunuch reads to him about Jesus, although he doesn't know he's reading about Jesus, right, from the prophet Isaiah. And the eunuch says, who am I reading about? And Philip starts to explain to him, says, hey, the lamb led to the slaughter, that's Jesus, that's Christ, right? And when he doesn't open his mouth, what that's saying is he doesn't protest, he doesn't fight against what's being done because he has a greater purpose, right? And just like a lamb might be slaughtered or a sheep might be slaughtered in order to take away the sins of the people, that's what happened with Jesus, right? He starts out with that, and then he says, he goes on and explains other scriptures and says, you know what, here it is. Look here where it talks about, you know, a little child will lead them. There. What about here where it talks about the Messiah being born in Bethlehem? And what about here, right? And he goes and explains all these different things about Jesus. And the eunuch is amazed. But he doesn't just stop there, right? This doesn't become just like a little Bible study for the eunuch. The eunuch looks out the window and says, look, there is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? Now, we don't know what kind of water it was. It may have been nice and sparkling and clean and pretty, right? Could have been a nice river or a stream. It could have been, an oasis. It could have been kind of nasty green water like is currently in my backyard, right? But regardless, it was water, and it was there for the use of the eunuch and Philip. And so Philip has a chance to put feet to his words, right? He's told this eunuch all about Jesus. He's explained the scriptures to him. And now it's up to Philip to decide, do I really believe that Christ is for everybody, right? Because everything he's been taught growing up tells him that this guy is not part of the group, that he's not allowed to be part of the group, that he's not good enough. And yet, Philip, we hear there's not even any hesitation from Philip. I think that maybe what Philip sees here, that this is not just a time for the Ethiopian eunuch to grow and to be brought closer to Jesus, but this is a time for Philip to grow and to be brought closer to Jesus. What he's seeing is that, look, if Jesus is here for this guy who wasn't born among your people, who doesn't look like your people, who didn't grow up like your people, who wasn't a Jew, who doesn't have the ability to do the things that you're expecting him to do, who is injured and not whole, if Jesus died for him, then Jesus died for the Pharisee that disagrees with you, right? Then if Jesus died for the eunuch, then Jesus died for the Samaritans who are at odds with you historically. If Jesus died for the eunuch, then he died for the woman at the well, right? And if Jesus died for him, then he died for you and died for me. And this is what Philip is showing us, what he's learning in this moment. So they go to that water. Just any old water, it doesn't matter, right? Is it holy water? I mean, it's arguable, right? I think it's holy once they use it for baptism, right? But it didn't start out holy. It's just water, right? And what made it special was that it was used for a special purpose in order to claim the eunuch, to make him a member of the family of God. What we see in baptism, what we see in this baptism of the eunuch, is that there's nothing, not a single thing, that disqualifies us from being a part of the family of God. That the way you're born, the way you look, where you're from, what's happened to you, the scars you have on your body, the scars you have on your heart, the scars you have on your mind, none of that will keep you from Christ. Not a single thing. And that we, as members of Christ's body, as members of the church, that our job is to be like Philip, is to be ready to go where we're sent. We may be sent to a nice, comfortable country club, okay, with nice, clean water in the cement pond. But we may be sent out on the country road where there's an old pond with some, you know, lily pads and stuff on it. And we have to be ready and willing to get in the water no matter where we go. And we have to remember, like Philip, that just because we have been brought up to think that this person doesn't belong, does not mean that God thinks that way. That just, right, there was a time in which we, as white folks, would have thought that people who have darker skin than us weren't allowed to be a part of the church, right? There was a time when we would have thought that. And the Holy Spirit says, no, of course not. I died for you and I died for them, right? There was a time when a spirit would have told us that people would have told us that because you are rich, you're able to be a part, but because you're poor, you're not. There was a time when it mattered what country you came from. There was a time when it mattered whether you were a man or a woman and all that, right? And what we see now is that that's not the case. So the question for me and for us is, who are the people that we've been told don't belong that Christ and the Spirit are telling us, you don't make that choice, right? Philip didn't get to choose who belonged. Who chose? Christ, right? Christ and Christ's life and Christ's death that was for everyone shows that the eunuch belongs, that he is loved, even though he's different. And so here's the thing. Once Philip baptizes the eunuch, Philip disappears, right? He gets snatched away to go do something else. But the eunuch goes on. And what does he do? He goes on his way rejoicing. You see, when somebody who has been excluded is suddenly included, that is so much more powerful than for those of us who have felt included our whole lives, right? So here's what's happened, is that that Philip has been faithful and has made a difference in the life of the eunuch. Who are those people in the world around you, in your family, in your community, in your school, in your workplace, who you've been taught are not allowed, right? You've been taught aren't good enough because of something they've done in their life, because of choices they've made, because of who they love, or because of what they look like, or whatever it is, right? There are a million things that we as people come up with to divide each other up. And yet, can you divide water? I mean, you can try. You can build a dam and you can separate it out. But the water goes where it wants to go, doesn't it? You can't just chop it. It's going to flow right back over. And it's the same way with grace. We can't separate others from the grace. When we allow ourselves to be a conduit for God's grace, then blessings happen. And we can feel that love. I encourage you to think back to when you were baptized. Think back, if you were old enough to remember, think back to that and think of how you felt. Think of that joy that you felt when you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that you were claimed by God. When you knew that in spite of anything that you might have done well or badly, or your failures or your successes, that you are loved by God. I think that that feels like getting in a nice, refreshing body of water on a hot day. That it helps to buoy you up when you're tired, and that you can float along borne up by the grace of Christ that we see in the water. And I encourage you today, as during our closing hymn, we're going to have a time of baptismal remembrance. You can come up and you can touch the water. You can make the sign of the cross on your forehead, whatever it is that you prefer. And then afterwards, there are hand sanitizer stations on either pew, whichever way you're going. You're welcome to use that. You don't have to, but we want to make sure that everybody feels comfortable. As you do that, as you touch the water, as you feel the water, remind yourself that you, just like the eunuch, that there's somebody out there who thought you didn't deserve the grace of God. But the Holy Spirit chooses. But Christ chooses. And Christ has chosen us. And that Christ has chosen to give us that love. Christ has chosen to give us that love and that grace and that water, that living water that allows us to be truly alive. Remember your baptism. Be thankful. And be ready to let that love flow to others. As Philip did. And then the eunuch leaves rejoicing. We don't know what else he does. But I believe that afterwards he goes and he tells other people, right? And maybe he finds other bodies of water and starts putting people under and reminding them that they're loved by Christ, right? I like to believe that he becomes an apostle following Jesus because of that joy. So go forth from here, being ready to love and to serve and not to prevent anyone from experiencing the grace of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to be singing, but first I've got to get this thing set up. So we have some of you may have been baptized right here. Okay? And if so, that's wonderful, and it can remind you of the very place and the time in which you were baptized. But remember that this water is the building block of life, right? We ourselves are mostly water. Our planet is mostly water. And Christ takes the most common thing, and he gives it meaning. And he says, we are washed and cleansed, we are born up, we are healed, and we are loved and made whole, initiated into the body of Christ through this water. And though we don't rebaptize in the Methodist Church, we do have the opportunity to remember when we were baptized, to be thankful for it, to know again and again that you are loved and you are claimed by the one who lived and died and was raised again for you. Amen.